Good morning. The first reading is from the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 to 10, that can be found on page 1480 in your pew Bible. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The second reading is from the New Testament, Mark chapter 11, verse 1 through 11. Approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing, untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked, it was already late, up to Bethany with the 12. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to you.
Would you pray with me this morning? Loving and gracious God, on this day that is familiar to so many of us, speaking of the timeless, unchanging God. So Lord, wherever we are today, and whatever we think we know about this day and the week to come, remind us anew, O God, of your love for us that came down so that we might have life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the season of Lent has brought us here to the entrance of Holy Week. Today's Palm Sunday. And how indeed, as Melissa intimated in the children's sermon, how the tone changes over the course of the events that we will remember this week. The exuberant, passionate crowds on Palm Sunday to be the King. His meal with his disciples, his commandment that he gives them to love one another, the institution of the Lord's Supper, the jeering of the crowds on Good Friday, the hope of Sunday. But to begin it all, we start Palm Sunday. In this text from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. As I've shared over and over again in sermons, sometimes it's the little details in the text that we would easily overlook that are packed so full of divine meaning. I've shared with you before, much to some of your dismay or surprise, that one of my favorite parts of the Bible are those long, long, long genealogies that you find. So-and-so begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so. It may seem like just boring history. Why do we care about this person's family tree? Oh, but it's so full of meaning. Helps us understand the richness of what God has done for us. And so in that spirit, there's this moment in the beginning of the reading from Mark where we're given these details. Now, Mark's writing style is very urgent. He moves from one thing to another with this sense of urgency over Jesus and his mission. He does not give us a lot of excess detail. One comparison that we looked at the beginning of Lent was the temptation in the wilderness. Mark just says that the Spirit drove Jesus out. He was tempted, he got hungry, and he came back. Luke and Matthew give us detail, the three different tempting moves from one thing to another. So when he does stop and give us some detail, maybe we should pay attention. Listen to how the very beginning of this text goes. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Okay, so the author is telling us what route Jesus and his disciples are taking. So what? Oh, there's so much in there. To come to Jerusalem, there were two main gates into the city. One was from the east, and one was on the west. And something would happen under Roman occupation during every Passover. Passover, when hundreds of thousands of Jews would gather from around the Jerusalem area, make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover at the temple. In an effort to stave off or to quell any mounting insurrections, would send in a huge display of force. Coming in on Arabian steeds with all the military might Rome had to offer. And they would come in from the western gate. And we know from historical record, the Romans, if nothing, were very good at giving us lots of detail. And they would come in from the western gate. And Jesus and his disciples, this motley crew, this ragtag band of followers, kids running in and out of their legs, tripping them up as they try to make their way in to celebrate Passover, come in from the east. Bethany and Bethphage and the Mount of Olives is just to the east of Jerusalem, right near that entrance into the holy city. Now, in our day, when we come to something that we don't understand, we might consult medicine or science or philosophy, hopefully for Christian scripture. In Jesus' day, when something was happening that the people wanted to make sense of, and these are people who were just suffused in Scripture, in the Old Testament, they would have gone to their texts. And Jesus coming in to the eastern gate is no accident. One of the prophets who would have haunted the mind and the memory of observant Jews was the prophet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, as most prophets, their job was to what? Pronounce God's judgment that would come upon the people if they did not turn from their way. And so in the prophet Ezekiel, in the 10th chapter, what does Ezekiel say? The glory parted from over the threshold of the temple and stopped above the cherubim. He has this vision of the glory of God with the Shekinah glory which dwelled in the temple, God's very presence. And Ezekiel's pronouncing judgment, the glory of God is what? It's, while I watched, the cherubim spread their wings and rose from the ground, and as they went, the wheels went with them. They of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. The people are waiting for Messiah, for God himself to step into time because of the people's unfaithfulness. The glory of God has departed. And it, where did it go? It left through the east gate of the city. But Ezekiel chapter 43, listen to what the prophet says here. Facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. In a detail, In one verse, what is Mark telling us? The glory of God is returning. He's coming back. And what does Jesus himself say? In the events of Holy Week, in the Synoptic Gospels, he overturns the tables in the temple. And what does he tell them? Destroy this temple, and in how many days? 3 days, I will raise it up. The glory of God has come back. It's come back to the people. And because of what Jesus does in Jerusalem over the course of this week, the glory of God has returned and he's come to save his people. So what does this mean for us? You might say, oh, okay, well, that's good. You got the Old Testament, you got the New Testament, the glory of God's back. Okay. It means everything for us. Because, friends, you and I are not left hopeless. Now we have a message to proclaim that the King has returned to his temple. And you and I, as the church, as the hands and feet, as the very physical temple, the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit, you and I then take that message out and we tell folks that God, the glory of God is here. He has come and he is coming again. Mark, in 11 verses, 6 of them focus on what the disciples are supposed to do with that donkey. Isn't that odd? Here, if we understand the text as the return of the king to his people, the glory of God, the presence of God returning to the temple, nothing of greater magnitude than this event. Isn't it odd that Mark spends 6 of 11 verses on how to get a donkey? But see, friends, this is where it comes together. God's very presence has come among us. He has returned to his people. He has made a way for us to be right with himself. And do you know what God needs? God needs people who are going to be on donkey detail, who are going to do the things that need to be done so that the message of the King who has come can go out. He needs you and me to bring the message to those around us who desperately need to know that Jesus is alive and real, and he is here, and he has made a way for you and I to have peace with God. He's looking then, and he's looking now for faithful people who know that the King has returned and who are willing to be on donkey detail to do what needs to be done to prepare the way of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen and amen.